July 16th through the 18th, I'm going to be at New York Comedy Club in Stamford, and then Montreal, just for laughs. I'm going to be there July 25th at Club Soda, doing an hour. So it's going to be, you know, mostly the Netflix hour. If you didn't hear it, I didn't go to Montreal on the tour, plus some new jokes. But then after that, it's all me working on new stuff. So I will see you in Albany, July 31st and 1st at the Albany Funny Bone. Just go to danceoder.com. What am I doing? Just go to danceoder.com. After Albany, go to danceoder.com. It's all there. We all put it up. But I'm on the road working on a new hour. So come check it out. I hope you like it. There's going to be some real humdingers on there. There's going to be some real shitty ones too. So just come see it. Come watch it get birthed. Watch me push them out. On the road. But thank you for watching the podcast. Now we can hit record and get the real shit talking going. Ted Sarandos.
He said, I don't hit the roast. Yeah. And I was like, hey, buddy. I'm like, then afterwards, like, you know, I felt like a fool. I'm like, I should have said, like, hey, we've never officially met. I'm Ari. I like the way you stood up for Chappelle. Thanks for whatever, but nice to meet you.
What was...
Instead of pretending.
This is a question that obviously I can't ask Lewis because he'll just go like...
Lewis of Skanks?
Oh my God, him dancing when The Rock came out.
Everyone having a good time, dude.
Everyone, how were you drunk?
We were having a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We were having a good time.
So when Shane made the joke about why'd you put the rich people up front?
Yeah,
all the animals are on the side, and you heard the crowd go
nuts.
What
a good idea to get them involved.
It was great.
Yeah.
Did you feel like the rich people were fucking shit up? Could you feel that in the jokes?
It was early on. It was right away.
It was right away. It was so, in his opening monologue.
Well, we were
right
walking in, and who was on stage? Oh, fucking.
So you came in late?
No. There was a warm-up act. They were like, everybody go in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they put...
Alonzo Bowden?
Alonzo Bowden on stage.
I saw...
And people were walking and talking. He's yapping. He was saying stuff about George Wallace, and he was just, George, I'm talking to you. And he's like, I had to go over and I'm like, George. Like that. Like no one's paying attention. It was like
and this is in the pit right in front of the dais.
It was a check drop spot to warm up. It was so dumb. Just have a band going and then lower the house lights once everybody's in and oh, we're ready to start. It was they set him up. The only other one I saw was before the Strokes. They put Seton in the dark on a shitty mic and said, go.
Before the Strokes.
Yeah, in between bands. I was so rough.
Yeah, that is a gig where I was really wondering because I thought when you saw the countdown on Netflix, it was going to go to like a red carpet and like someone was hosting and hey, the event's about to start and now we're going to go in live to the... They just went like, here's Shane Gillis. And then he just came out and did the joke.
There's so much that me as a producer would do different on everything.
Oh my God.
Number one, on any shoot and I look at where the cameras are. I just start.
Katie had a really good point. Because I immediately was like,
did you go? You didn't go.
No. I was out of there as fast as I possibly could.
If Big J wasn't on it, then I don't know if I would have gone.
Yeah, dude. And by the way, Big J fucking murdered.
Big J murdered.
He loved it. I loved it. He was Big J. It's what I told him.
Yeah. I was only nervous that the crowd would not be upset about how ugly he is. But they seemed to not care. They seemed that Shane set the tone for gross.
He did look like he ran a Reno strip club with the red in the hair. But where he was in the lineup, I stopped being worried when I saw where he was.
No, we got it together because they sent me the lineup. We're like, where? I'm like, oh, dude. And also, you're following a non-comic.
Yeah.
It was perfect. I think everyone followed a non-comic.
Yeah. And that was the note I would say that was a good note. But something that I said that Katie had a good point on where I was like, haven't they learned from Comedy Central to edit these? So it's just like an hour of killer shit. And then Katie was like, I guarantee with all the famous people they get, they can't do a taped because everyone the next day would be butthurt and be like, hey, you can't do that joke about me. Hey, you can't do that joke about me. Like, it would get heavily edited.
Well, they would have to go.
Because they're already cutting jokes now if you watch it.
Oh, they did.
You should have
the live version and then a better version later.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart went on 2.5 hours into the show. He should be on 1:40 into the show.
Exactly. And also, The Rock did like 30 when he should have done.
Oh, when did we just find out The Rock's a black comic?
Yeah. He just
blew that light. Rap it, Sherrod.
Holy shit.
Sherrod.
Yeah, dude. He was dabbing himself. He's like, ladies looking lovely here tonight. He hit him with that. He hit him with a ladies look lovely here. Did you see anybody at the roast that didn't want to see you? Like, did you see any like famous people that you're like, you don't great, fucking like me?
Great question, interviewer Dan. Yeah. Interviewer Dan has a great question there.
I do. I think that's a great question.
There's one I thought I saw on the way out that I realized like, oh shit, I didn't vet who was at my table. It could have been anybody. The one that we both were in the green room a long time ago.
Yeah.
And we're like, ugh. And I think I saw that guy and I was like, oh my God, thank God I didn't have to
sit at a table with
him.
Did you
my table ruled.
Who was your table?
Me and Lewis.
Great.
By the way.
Lewis with
how upset Lewis was for getting guest of Ari Shaffir because I told them his name so much. And I was like, did you see that? He goes, he was so mad.
He was waiting for the J too. Find out Lewis, he was waiting for that J. Oh, dude, we went before
it. He goes, it's J. They put the J in. They're like, well, it doesn't matter. He goes, put it in anyway then. this is just for the cameras to know who they're shooting. Like, so put it in.
Yeah, so put it to Jay because they know it's me, doggy.
Sat down. Papa was there with his wife.
Great.
Who I've met his wife too.
Love Tom Papa.
God, that guy rules.
He's the best.
Didn't bring bread.
That sucks.
But
what did he judge the bread they gave you? Did they give you food there?
So I asked beforehand because I'm like, I'm going to get lit. So we had to take these pictures, the red carpet, so uncomfortable.
It was great. Lewis grabbing your dick. What a skanks picture.
You saw that?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
To everybody. It was also so funny that they were like, we come in, but it's like one, two, three, sure. Four.
The step and repeat.
And then Chelsea is over there. So they go, oh no. And they're going a long lens. I'm like, no, guys, I'm here. It's supposed to take my picture now. They're like, yeah, we're going to long lens this winter. Rather
than damn. Me.
Yeah.
So they skipped you for
and they're like, guys, far right
away,
here.
And they go, oh, for far away Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll take one shot,
yeah. But yeah, you got the dick. I mean, Lewis got the dick grab. And did he take the gloves off?
No, we held him on.
You held him on? You both had him on.
And then DeRosa came and goes, I can't go alone. I couldn't either.
Yeah.
So I understand. I'll go with you. I took those off because it was just DeRosa.
Okay.
Although he was a temporary candidate for
he was until you vice president. Usurped him with Shane.
Who'll betray the betrayed.
When Shane moved in, all under my funding.
Yeah, there were people that, and then Eric Andre was there.
Oh, I saw him at your table.
He ruled.
Yeah, that was a fun, I bet that was a fun hang.
Yeah, I've seen him like a couple times in the last week, and it was like, oh yeah, I forgot that guy's just a comic. Some Eric? Of these guys who go on to become massive stars and then change slightly.
Well,
Eric is like, oh yeah, you're the same dude as JFL when we were both trying to get on stuff.
Well, what I learned from him doing this podcast, he's like, literally punk rock.
He is. He's so like punk rock.
He's very punk rock. Like he wants to fucking burn it down at all times.
Every time.
And it's great.
That was his show.
Yeah. When he was on here, he wanted to burn it down. And then
dude, I live here also. Stop.
Yeah. I was just kind of like, there was a moment where I was like, all right, dude, fucking chill out. And then he was like, ah. Like he completely went like, ah. Like he, like you got it. Once you get him. So that's a fun. So DeRosa, Eric Andre.
No, DeRosa was there. I just saw him before, and he goes, I can't do this red carpet thing alone, please. Because we're so you'd be the same way.
I hate it.
This is not
our vibe. I refuse to do billions red carpets.
Everyone else knows how to hold their arms. And like,
or they go like this. Over here. Give us another pose. I just went through and went, that's why if you see my red carpet picture from, I think it's season 2 or 3 of Billions, I go like this. That was the only smile I got. I was like,
that's where Lewis comes in handy.
Oh, he doesn't
give a fuck at all, so then he's straight dick grab.
Yeah.
And they're like,
Lewis will be like this. He'll pro wrestle the red carpet.
It's great.
He'll spit water and be like, what are you guys going to fucking do? He's a theater kid.
He doesn't see any moments. He just goes, I'm doing my thing always.
Yeah, he's a tornado. If he comes in and fucking crashes your shit.
We were dancing to the roots. No, our table was having a blast.
Did you see tables that weren't?
I'll tell you, there was Mo and an Earthquake.
Sure.
Like up and right there.
Sure.
And Earthquake was standing up, going for it every time. Earthquake was having a good time. So was Mo. Because Earthquake is
a comic
in the audience. More than that, when you have a crowd, if you have three fat black ladies in front having a good time, everyone's having a good time. And Earthquake did that to that bottom section.
Great.
He's the fat black lady.
He was having a fun time.
Having a blast.
Also,
going, yo, that was a great one. And everyone else I guess we'll stand up.
And also at rock shows, the white ladies that dance.
Yeah,
white same ladies thing, that dance. Because they get other people to go like, oh, we're all dancing. This is moving. You need people moving and grooving in the front section.
Yeah.
But it felt like there were a lot of executives. When Shane said that, when he was like, all these fucking rich people up front.
It is. It's like.
Yeah.
So I heard something that Billy Joel did when he was on tour with the gay.
I've heard this story.
Yeah.
Where he was like, Elton no, John. Go get the...
So they don't sell the first two rows.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need the first two rows to be lively.
Sure.
So go get the back row, choose people, bring them up.
Yes.
Let them, and then now it's like, I was already going to have a good time.
Could you imagine if they would have done that with this roast? That's what I said to Katie.
They should have done that.
Why don't they have four rows, right, of just seats? No tables.
Before the cameras. Yeah. Ahead of the cameras. So they can't even see them. Just seats.
Yeah, just as like almost like a monitor. Like the Friars Club. Just a monitor.
Yeah.
So that they can fucking hear the laughs. Because that was the worst part is when they do jokes and you're like, I don't know if they knew that that was funny because it feels like the audience didn't.
We could hear very well. We could.
Yeah.
That part was great. I mean, I don't know, man. I had a blast. So it was me, Tom, Eric, Tom's wife, Eric's chick, me and my chick, Lewis.
Guest of Ari Shaffir.
And then one last seat for our friend Molly.
That's fun.
And then.
Oh, my God. So you were probably hugging people.
Dude, we were having a blast.
Yeah. And was there a moment of like being very proud of Jay where you were like.
So much.
And Shane.
Tony.
And Tony and Pete. And you go, look at all these guys doing it.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
I mean, even just seeing Jay up there, I went and slept high five beforehand. I could see him like this. I was like.
He was great.
He was great.
He's great. And
I kept looking at Shane. We kept looking at Jay. We're doing these.
Yeah, the 3-4 life.
And he would do it.
3-4
like,
life.
He was on a camera. Shane would look out. I could see him look at me. And I was like.
So that would be funny. What's funny is there were moments where we were watching, like during the Rock thing, we were just like watching Shane stare down. And we were like. But then I knew Tommy and Chris and all them were at a table.
They were there too. I was here. They were like. There.
That's what we were wondering. Yeah. We were wondering if they were in Shane's eye line because he would do something.
He was looking out. Shane was so smooth and having a good time that when he started riffing at the end, Cheryl was the only one that really riffed. You could see the monitor if you looked, and she was like talking. She's like, "Nah, I'm gonna do my own
thing. She killed.
Speak from the heart."
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, Shane took a beating and came back out and did great,
having a blast. Talk, and it was like he was so smooth with it. I would have been sweating and like, I wouldn't be able to see anybody from
the first thing I noticed that he broke, which really made me laugh, was when Tom Brady thing. And then he came back and he goes, well, that was fucking annoying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, oh,
he didn't pre-write that. He was just a comic in the moment.
He was feeling it.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is that, fucking crazy? Like his genuine reaction.
Like if you went on stage at The Stand and tried a character that didn't go anywhere, I would, and you wouldn't fault me for going, hey, Dan, remember when you thought that would work?
Yes.
You know?
That's the whole point of a roast. And you go, well, that fucking sucked. Yeah,
exactly. And it's a roast.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was very long, but I think like in the age of modern celebrities that they're going to edit everything out if they don't like a thing that was said. You're like, great.
I would say you should be able to edit, but only if what I said didn't work. Let's take that down a little bit. I don't get any on what other people say to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be able to control your own
set. It was so funny. Chelsea had these jokes written in about how Tony's problematic and Shane is problematic after Shane brings her up as she hangs out with Epstein.
That was the best intro.
Like, well, Tony, you don't like Jews. He goes, I was never even accused of not liking Jews.
Yeah, I've never seen a better intro on a roast.
Way to cut your legs out.
Flat out fucking facts.
And I love Chelsea. It was just a funny way to do it.
What the fuck are you drinking?
Mate. Sirva mate.
What is that?
It
looks like he's drinking leaves.
Weed, yeah. Yeah.
Is it weed?
It's Argentinian.
What is it?
It's just ground like up. It's just everywhere from southern, south.
Hold on. Can I show the camera? I don't know if the camera can see this, but it's like, looks like fucking, I don't know. Oh, here we go.
Mañanita. It's a decent brand, Mañanita.
What is it, like a coffee?
No, it's tea. Everyone is southeastern Chile to all of Argentina, Uruguay, and then southern Brazil. And then in Paraguay, they drink it cold. Fucking animals.
Cold. So that's hot water.
It's hot-ish. It's not boiling.
And you put it in this and it makes it like a tea?
Yeah.
Did you get into this before this last adventure?
No, this adventure is when I get into it.
This adventure?
Yeah.
Is that the part about...
I'm driving a camper van on shitty, shitty roads in Patagonia with winds so high that when you pass somebody, like, I might get taken into them. You'd pee and would spray everywhere if you got out to pee. And I needed some energy. So I was driving and I was like, cut me.
And this was the stuff you were doing. Was that easier to find than like coffee?
In Argentina and Uruguay, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
So at every airport, if you're at an airport, they'll have a water fountain and a yerba fountain where you can get the right.
Is that
it's a brand. There's like 10 brands.
Okay.
It's a decent brand. Today's episode is brought to you by Mañanita.
Guys, that'd be sick if they...
When you're looking for the great taste of some smoothie...
You know how much I would love a sponsor of a language I didn't speak and I had no clue its cultural relevance? I just think that's like... that's always something I've always...
That's a little morning? What's Mañanita? Mañana?
I don't know. Maybe...
Ita means
we'll
little.
Look it up.
Yeah.
But that thing about... You're like a... This is the kind of friend everyone should have that tries crazy shit that maybe you don't want to try, but sometimes, occasionally, it is some shit you want to try, and you go, this isn't one of them.
Okay,
I'm honest enough It looks like you're drinking fucking mulch.
I'm honest enough to tell you, like, hey, I tried it. Like, ah, don't do that. Yeah. Or like, dude, you should.
Sure.
Like, guinea pig, I'm like, O'Neill came to visit, and I'm like, bro, it's not a funny thing to eat. It's delicious.
So I had a teacher in high school that was from Peru. And she was like, we love guinea pig. We eat guinea pig all the time.
It's not like, can you believe what we're doing?
But we were like white kids in Colorado in I think it was like high school or middle school. We were like, ew, you eat fucking guinea pig? And then my friend who was very smart was like, oh no, it's a delicacy there. They like love it.
Yeah, you can't even afford it always because it's like graduation shit. But also a whole one is like $30.
Did you?
And try it?
Guinea pig?
It's earthy.
Oh, this?
It's earthy.
Yeah, I'll try it. I was like, I ain't trying to get
it. Just suck it all down.
I go, I like guinea pig.
It's earthy. So it takes some getting used to.
Yeah. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I thought I was going to hate it.
Yeah.
It is, it's very tea. It's very like if your bag of tea busted open.
So some people put sugar in there. Other people put one mint leaf and bury it in there or a little slice of lemon to give some taste.
What was the shit you were drinking? Remember when we were doing Sixth and Jump and you got drunk and you got drunk with those construction workers and they gave you like a bucket of something? Do you remember that? This was in Central America and you were
chicha,
like...
Chicha, I think.
Yeah,
I think
you were like... Chicha. He like showed up. First off, when we were doing Sixth and Jump during the pandemic, we're all on Zoom. Jay and I are in Zoom in New York.
What a good time. But I love them. Deaths were worth it.
Oh, for COVID?
Anyone who's gone. It's
whatever. Like, your mom and Peepa are gone. Who
gone and forgotten.
Shit?
But those memories are real.
But I remember you showing up. Like, at first, it's Ari's apartment. And then you guys went to Central America in South America. And all of a sudden, it was just a jungle as your setting. While everyone was changing their settings to look like jungles.
Let me put some looks in that I might have wanted to read.
Or they're doing a fake one of like, look at me, I'm in the tropics. Yeah. Straight up, Ari was just on a porch with the jungle behind him. And we were like, oh, that's real.
Dude, I had such few joys. And one of them was like, I'm about to log on. Let me make this look as ridiculous as possible.
And you would like walk through.
Coconut with a straw.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they're like.
Which, by the way, I think I'm telling you this live on my podcast, but Jay and I agreed for Skankfest this year. We're doing Six and Jump again.
I should do it too.
No, what are you doing? You fucking dickhead. We're going to watch Johnny Depp's last episode.
That's great.
I think we'll do Depp's last episode.
And we should do that.
When he left the show.
When he left.
Like the final Johnny Depp episode.
It's the best thing about Skankfest. You could just do some of the stuff. Yeah, I'm in.
And then that's how so we good. Did it. Because we did the movie watch along at Netflix as a joke. And I tried to explain to him how we did Six and Jump was perfect. With the monitors in front, the venue just couldn't do it. But there was a lag between the movie and the monitors at Netflix as a joke. So, but
$1 million a second not to get the sound right, not enough.
I mean, we had a bunch of problems. They didn't download it. Remember how, before, that's why when DeRosa said that, and you'll hear this, by the way, I think we're gonna release the Made in Manhattan watch along with Tim Dillon, Joe DeRosa, and James McCann on Punch Up Live. We did a thing where we were like, we'll download it. And they're like, it's Netflix. We'll just stream Netflix. And then in the middle of it, it crashed. And the Wi-Fi. And you're like, dude, this is why we told
you. That was Rogan when he did the live thing. He goes, dude, I watched it live. He goes, so how was it live? I'm like, I mean, it lagged a bunch. It kept flipping off.
Yeah.
The jokes were great, but like, it kept lagging. It was not a pleasurable experience to watch.
But it was something that we anticipated. And we were like, hey, we should download the movie, which we did on Sixth and Jump.
Yeah.
And it worked fantastic. We could go back. We could go forward. We were watching. That was when Seabock was illiterate, we found out. What a great time. We should have put that out on something.
Piedmont.
Yeah, dude, in the Piedmont, there is no career day.
We should find all those and just put them up on your punch-up.
And by the way, punchup.live is where it is because everyone will sign up.
I know it's summer, but hey, you still need jeans. I'm a jeans all year round guy. I think everybody, single person listening knows that. No one's going like, oh, really? But you know what jeans are great? The perfect jean. I'm talking about jeans that feel like sweatpants, fit great, but look just like awesome denim. You can go get perfect jeans. I'm telling you how they feel. I know they got the little stretch material, but when you wear it, you're like, damn, dude, this fits me perfect. doesn't get too tight, doesn't get too baggy. I know those Jankos are back, but you don't want them too baggy. If you're like me and you're a dude in your 40s, you just want jeans that fit. I just need them to fit right. And that's what the perfect jean has got. It's got that right fit where you walk around going, all right, I don't feel ridiculous. That's the most important part. You don't want jeans where you're like, what the hell am I wearing? Are these bell bottoms? Perfect jean, good denim, fits great and feels very comfortable. Our listeners get 15% off their first order. Also, free shipping at theperfectjean.nyc, or you can just Google The Perfect Jean and use code SODER15 for 15% off. Go check them out. In a world of banking apps. honestly, though, it's a lot. There's a lot of banking apps where you're like, what the hell am I even doing? But Cash App, you got to try Cash App. Mostly, what do you want? Security? Because if it's up to, it's way more than just a safe way to send and receive money. With Cash App Card, you unlock a ton of perks. So you got the security without all the hidden fees. You get to enjoy benefits like exclusive early access to nationwide concert presales. That's pretty cool. Kendrick Lamar and Sabrina Carpenter, to name a couple names. Cash App also adds security to your money by declining suspicious card transactions and sending you notifications to make sure your payment is really you. So when you make the payment, they go, hey, is this you? And you can go, yeah. That way, if it's not you, you go, no, that wasn't me. Cash App shuts it down. It does more than you think when it comes to having your back and making sure your money stays your money. Cash App just released a new status program for the way people actually spend called Cash App Green. You could also earn your interest on your savings because Cash App, well, they can do way more than you think your money would work for you. It direct deposit at least $300 in paycheck each month and use the Cash App card for purchases. You earn interest on your savings. There's no hidden fees and no minimum balance requirements. New Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use the code CashApp10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days. Terms apply. Cash App is a financial service platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App Banking Partner. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa Debit Flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, and the Bancorp Banking, North America. Pursuant to a license from Visa USA Incorporated. See terms and conditions for Sutton Prepaid Card, Subit Debit Flex Card, and Bancorp Debit Flex Card. Cash App Green features savings, direct deposit, roundups, overdraft coverage, and discount provided by Cash App, a Block Incorporated. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosure.
Because let me tell, like, out of the pandemic,
yeah,
that was my favorite thing we made.
It was great.
It was so fun.
It was, but it was a pandemic podcast where first it was lockdown and we had nothing to do. It would have us come together. And everyone got the third and fourth podcast, the second, third, and then it became like, oh shit, we're back on the road. This is getting more difficult.
Yeah,
I was actually really sad to have left it.
Yeah, but it was such a fun thing.
Such a fun thing. It kept our sanity.
It really, honestly, like I would get
in. That studio apartment I rented on like whatever in the East Village.
That was the first time we saw each other in a long time and we got to hang out. People forget the good parts of COVID, which was like seeing your friends again and you realize you missed seeing your friends.
Becky's like, I'm trying to figure out how to get this done. I don't know. Let's put a camera behind the.
But it was fun.
It was so fun.
There's things about humanity that like technology takes away that you're like, no, dude, there was fun about seeing each other again. About like that's what I didn't like about the festival. It didn't have the festival feel.
No hangout except at the store.
It was the store,
de facto one, but that was booze, so it's not as pleasurable.
But also the store was fun.
It was too packed.
It was overwhelming. I couldn't have a conversation with somebody without someone else being like, hey!
Yo, can I just break in? You're like, I mean, we should have
I saw Norman and he was like, I'm freaking out. I was like, I know, it's a lot.
Because that was where my home was. I started there.
I know.
So I knew, I was like, Norman, I know crevices. Come with me.
By the way, shout out Rose, because she immediately was like, smoke a joint in the back. There's no one back there right now. You guys go back there. And I went back there with like three people. We hung out.
Rose was a waitress at first, so she also knows
Rose
the
crevices.
She knows the vibe. She was like, get
over here. This shit's going on. At one point, she was like, just go around here. Because I was like, I want to smoke a joint. And she was like, you're fine. Yeah, it was fun. More and more I go back, I understand the store in a way that I don't think I did when I was just here in New York.
Oh, you probably looked at it as this place. It was our clubhouse.
I mean, I think like more and more I go back, I see that. Especially because like I remember early on when you were living here, but you'd go back to L.A. If I was in L.A. and you were there, I'd be like, I'll go to the store. Because Ari can show me around.
Yeah.
But now the more I've gone, I've been like, oh, I see where people hang, kind of how the how it moves.
So Rogan tried to recreate. He was like, where the hangout spots gonna be? Like, where might you all just end up gathering? One is in the stores, the back hallway.
That's
and the door guys, my old job was to go to massive celebrities. Goes, guys, I'm so sorry. It's bleeding. You gotta leave the hallway.
Was there anyone you in there that you remember being a prick about it? About being like, you being like a door guy and being like, hey, dude, I'm sorry. Because when they do that, a lot of times you're in the middle of having fun. You're like interrupting having fun. We're so, like joking around and shit, and people are like,
luckily, they were comedian celebrities. And so they would get, I'm like, guys, you're fucking up the show. Do you mind? I got to get you outside. Or in or out, in or out. Well, a couple times where I was the door guy. One time, probably two times. One time I was working the booth at the Comedy Store. And at the time, Duncan had left. He was a talent coordinator. So I was the assistant talent coordinator. So if somebody wanted something, it fell to me. Just for 2 weeks.
What a shitty spot to be in as a comic.
Yeah. So
you're dealing with people's egos.
Oh, yeah.
But also, you had to work HR. You had to work HR for 2 weeks.
But not really. It was just Mitzi doing it. We're just writing it down and delivering the message.
Sure.
There was no like, hook me up. Like, we can't. She's still involved. So anyway, this black homeless guy came through the back door of the main room towards me. And the back door guy points at him, like, get him out. Some guy in a fucking in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. And I was like, fuck, okay, how do I do this? Because I'm 140 pounds at the time. Yeah. I'm not a good door guy, but I know not to fuck up the show. I'm like, let him get out first, then close it behind him.
It's like trapping a bug.
Yeah.
You go, well, how are we going to get this bug out of this?
If he's going on his own, let him go.
Just go, then shut the window. Shut the window.
So he comes out, and I put the thing behind me, and I can help you. And he turns, and it's Chris Rock. It's not some black guy. It's Chris Rock. And he goes, can I go on next? And I may not have my fists ready to fucking fight. And I have to do two. I'm like, one, oh, there's no fight. And two, there's an actual super high level comedian asking me for, he needs information. And I was like, oh, okay. People usually go on in the original room, not the main room. And he goes, yeah, but I looked at the lineup. There's like four comics left in the original room. And this is the last comic in the main room. And it's better not to bump anybody, right? And I was like,
that's nice to hear.
Yeah.
That is nice to hear.
My first, I had never seen him before. That was the first time he came in.
That's crazy.
And I was like, yeah, by the way, did about 55 minutes or so till 1:55. And he goes, ah, shit, well, I know the waitresses get off at 2, so I don't want to keep them.
Great.
So that's it for me.
Man, I'll tell you right now, and this goes about any job. This is not just stand-up. This is not just entertainment. When people understand what other people do at a job, it makes them such a better fucking coworker. Yeah. Where you go, yeah, you're being a dick. Even if you rise up and become a vice president, if you go, well, I know the guy at the parking garage gets off at 8. Mm-hmm. I don't want to stay past 8 because then this parking garage guy's got to wait. It was like when I was a waiter and I was waiting on a table and it was late and it was like the dinner and people would look around and go,
oh shit, bring us a check now. We'll get out of here. In a second.
Versus on my birthday one year, I was working a Thursday night and this couple had a romantic dinner where they were talking to each other about how cute it was they shut down the restaurant. And you go, well, it's not cute. I turned on the lights and my manager got mad at me because he was like, no, you got to keep the lights low. It's like, it's 2 hours past our closing and I've pulled everything from their table. All they have is water glasses.
In the movie's like, it's so cute. We shut it down. Then you sing behind the things. I'm like, come on.
I literally would come back like this. I would come back from smoking a cigarette.
Hey, and
I'd
be
putting my apron on.
Can you move?
And I look at the busser and I go, Francisco, they still there? And he's like, see? And you're like, I'm like in the kitchen like, I want to go get drunk with my, it's my birthday too. So it's like, you know, when you're poor and it's your birthday and you work at a job like a waiting, you're like, people are going to buy me drinks. Yeah. This is the one time a year where I'm going to have a free bar tab. Please let me go. And they're like, I could stare into your eyes. But I like when big comics do that. Ray Romano does that. Ray Romano comes into the cellar and he goes, who's up? And you're like, daddy goes, all right, I'll go up next. And you're like, thanks, Ray. And like, I remember
when you start doing impressions.
When did you become a voice guy? I remember one time this is before he got in trouble. This is when he was like king shit. I was sitting on the stairs and he came in and he didn't really talk to lower level comics, but he came in and I was sitting on the stairs and they're like, well, Dan Soder's next. And he looked at me and he goes, is it cool if I go up and do like 10 to 15? And you go,
you could have just done it. Thank you for asking. Absolutely, yes.
That's exactly what I said. I go, you could have done that. You didn't need to ask. It's also funny.
But also, you do need to ask. It's just so few people have that you're like, you technically don't have to.
We understand you don't have to.
But like, you do need to. As a human, you do. Yes. Just none of them do. So it becomes surprising.
when they come in and they're like, that's why, like, what broke my heart about Chappelle one night was he was there and Michelle Wolf and I were like getting bumped. And he like knows Michelle. He's like friends with her. And I'm on there. And he was just like, I was upstairs and someone from the club was like, Dave, are you going to go up? And he goes, I don't really know if I want to. You know what? I'll go up. And now you just bumped. Now
you see that guy. You're like, don't fucking ask him.
Yeah, that's exactly. I won't tell you which manager it was, but I went up and I went, what the fuck? Now I don't get to go up. And they were like, oh, you know, and you're like, fucking, I get it.
I mean, I get it, but also like.
But being a good coworker, I think that art is lost. Like the art of like being empathetic towards a guy you work with.
I send all my managers and assistants and agents and assistants. I get high and get ideas. So I'm sending it. But now I go, oh, let me schedule send this for Monday morning.
Sure.
And not for Friday night.
Dude,
this is when I have the idea, but you don't have to be. Or I'll go, guys, this is definitely after the weekend thing. If it's Friday day, I'm like, this is definitely for next week. This is not urgent.
Yeah.
But my idea is here right now and I will forget it.
That's great. Yeah. And that's like, there really is like this thing of, you know, my manager lives in LA. So there's mornings where I wake up, it's 9 a.m. here and I'm up and I'm like, hey, fucking, blah, 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 and I'm about to type it. And I'm like, it's 6 a.m. there.
Schedule send.
It just, yeah, schedule send is fucking giant.
The other major time I was, there was a homeless guy that came in, like a white homeless guy. And I was like, no, no. And I'm walking down the hallway. But then as I get up there, I noticed he's talking to Dice. So I'm like, okay, now he's bugging Dice. But also he's got a mink coat on. And I'm like, no. And then I'm like, and Eleanor was like, Rick Rubin. I was like, nope. And
that's, I just kept walking crazy.
By. I just kept walking by.
That's crazy that you're like, no, 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 my God. No,
absolutely not.
Oh, it's one of the greatest producers of all time. That is the thing about LA that is.
Shave your fucking, look like a mensch, Rick.
That is the difference between LA and New York City, though.
Get into Shul with that look.
Is New York City straight up will be a homeless guy.
Yeah.
It will not be Rick Rubin or Chris Rock. You get a guy, you go, oh, he's covered in shit. And he's inside. The crazy thing about being a door guy is the fact that you're a comic that has to be a bouncer. It's the only club I know where they make.
It's the best because the comics respect the door guys because half of them used to be them.
Yeah.
Like legitimately wore this same t-shirt.
The way you talk about it, the way you, Tony talks about it, the way anybody that came up
to the store. Bobby Lee was. Yeah. And then if you weren't, your friend was.
Sure.
And so, or you saw one go from nobody to a theater comic. And so you're like, well, these guys, yeah, they're comics.
This guy might be. One of the door guys at the store came up to me when we were hanging out at the festival and he's like, I do a Dangerfield. And he was like, hey, hey. And I was like, oh, it's not bad. And I tried doing it. I was like, all right, that was enough. And it was back. And then later I'm walking through and he stops me. He goes, oh, I have so much anxiety that I did that for you. And I was like, no, no, that's great. I would have done that too. It's fine.
There it is. A regular door guy wouldn't have done the second part. the first.
But a comic is like, oh, fuck, what did I do? But I loved, because
they are comics, but they're also new comics.
So and that's like, something,
chill, bro.
But that's something that I used to feel. I wasn't a door guy in New York. You're not a door guy. Well, you're just doing that shit.
Guys. Street team guys don't have to interact with the comics.
That's the whole point. Yeah. It's like I would be at like New York Comedy Club or the Cellar, and I would say something, and you'd be like, what? And then I wasn't there to go, I fucked up. So I just walk around the fucking village being like, I fucked up so much.
There was no time like the beginning times. Ralphie told me that early on.
Chappelle told
Harris. He was like, how long are you? I'm like, about a year. And he goes, boo, that's when it's just fun. I didn't get it because I was starving.
Sure.
But like.
That's a big fucking issue.
Yeah. I was like, today I had to eat legitimately leftover hamburgers from McDonald's that I froze. Because.
Was that your
29 cent cheeseburger, 39 cent hamburger, vice versa, Sundays and Wednesdays. So it was like, you'd load up, freeze a bunch of those, then the rest of the week you could.
I was a Subway chicken teriyaki on Italian herbs and cheeses. 6 inches at dinner the next day, 6 inches for lunch, split my bag of potato chips. I'd get a large drink that I could drink half and have other. It was all about halves. And then a staff meal at the restaurant.
I got to get you a yarmulke.
Oh, dude,
you've earned it.
Thank you.
You know what? I didn't realize. You've actually put in your time.
I really fucking, that means a lot.
Yeah.
And it does mean a lot. As someone that grew up watching Mel Brooks movies and had his alcoholic father using Yiddish, I'm verklempt. I'm a little verklempt. And honestly. It's
proper usage.
Yeah. What's funny is I didn't realize, because Colorado, I knew two Jewish kids.
Yeah.
And then I moved to New York and I would say stuff and they'd be like, you're using Yiddish. And you're like, oh, fuck. I didn't even realize I was a jigga. What do you call a white kid? White kid that wants to be, I was a.
What do you want to ask me about my trip? I know you were about to.
Oh, like about, what I got. No, you're just the guy that I go like, what did you eat?
Oh yeah.
Cause like, could you imagine Big J and I on a trip like yours being like, I don't want to eat that. It has eyes.
I was in Ecuador and I heard for the first time, 6 months there, for the first time I heard an American accent.
And what's that like?
Okay. First it was like, oh,
cause you were gone for what, 7 months?
6 months, that one. Yeah, okay. Just in Ecuador. Car, driving around, bandit. And then I heard an accent, but then I was like, wait, that's not American accent. That is rural Philadelphia accent.
Yay, we got the...
Oh, yeah, you heard that?
The first accent I heard, and they were at the... You can get one of those gazebo things at the beach
sure.
for $5 for the day.
Great.
Rent a surfboard for $3 or five or six for 2 hours. It was like, oh, my God. It was the best. And then eventually I'm like, hey, what do you guys... Yay. And they were like... Once we started talking, they're like, "Hey, there's a chicken piccata over there. It's so good."
That's so
funny. And I was like, "I'm not eating the chicken piccata in Ecuador. There's actually good food here."
They go, "Yeah, we actually talked them into doing it. We're gonna do
two of them ran a DQ in Wildwood."
Yeah, you ever had guinea pig?
Those guys ruled so much.
You ever had a guinea pig and guinea pig hoagie? Like, don't put that on. Don't make a hoagie out of guinea pig.
I met one of them again once at a show recently. They came and I was like, they were like, "There's some people saying they met you in Ecuador." I'm like, "Oh, bring those guys
that's
in."
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's funny shit to see you and you're like Tarzan back in society.
2 weeks. It was good. When you meet someone from traveling afterwards, it just becomes like the people from Lost when they met in real life after. Sure. And like, we got to go back.
Yeah.
We got to get back to the island.
It's like summer camp friends. When you had summer camp friends when you were young and then you'd see them back home in reality, yeah. You go, well, I got my regular friends.
There is shit that you and Jay would eat and list and stuff like that. But I would tell you, like, you can try this one. Or this one's too spicy. Don't. This one is whatever. Because I'll try everything.
That's the cooking show.
You try food. The food is amazing. Peru has the best food in South America.
That's the cooking show. Trip to South America with me, List, and Jay.
Yeah.
And you are our Bobby Flay.
And it's like, all right, tell me what you can and can't do.
Yeah. And like,
if it's like, I really do not want to risk stomach flu, and I'm like... I'm going to cross half these off the list then. And if you're like, I don't like spicy, I'm like, great, we'll stay in Uruguay.
What happened? Two questions. What happens when it goes sideways? Like, what happens when it's too spicy? Did you eat something where you're like...
I'm not. My dad raised me on spice.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I'm the guy who goes to Thai and they're like, Thai spice. They're like, I don't know. I'm like, I know, just get it.
Really? So yeah. You've been a spicy guy your whole life?
I would have to get my Asian roommate at Maryland to ask for extra spicy on the phone because they wouldn't believe my accent. So really? I'm like, you need to ask for it extra spicy.
Do you find it that it's so hot it's enjoyable?
Yeah.
You're that kind of guy.
Yeah.
My mom's boyfriend was like that.
What was that?
He was like, I want it, like the whatever, what the scale is.
Where pleasure meets pain.
Yes.
What is that? Hellraiser?
Yeah. Yeah. But like the scale of the...
Scovilles
or whatever.
Yeah. Rory Scovilles.
Yeah. They improv how hot it is. And you enjoy it the whole time.
Not how hot it is.
But he was like, there used to be this like hot sauce store in Boulder.
Yeah.
And we would like go up to Boulder. My mom's boyfriend would be like proud of being like, what's the hottest one you got? And it'd be like a Carolina Reaper pepper. And he'd be like, yeah, that's spicy. But he wouldn't freak out.
Whereas I won't do that with the Reaper.
A bitch with spice, dude.
My dad will do that. He made this own, you know, like not the Sriracha, but the other brand where it's got all the seeds in it and stuff.
Sure.
Like red and thick. So he made that in his own. And he'd have to ferment it and let it go. I remember him, and it was me, for me, even then, it would take, let's say, salami sandwich on rye, and I would take a little bit, spread it very thin all over, like one spoonful all the way, and I'd still be like, oh, and put ketchup on top of it, like, oh my God.
It'd be fucking
my
you
dad
up.
To test it would take a spoon, go, and go, oh yeah, that's good.
Whoa.
But it's like, no, it's spicy.
Did your siblings have a similar love? Was there any sibling that didn't like spice?
My brother's kid loves it.
Real, but your brother didn't.
My brother likes it okay.
But your brother's kid's like you. He's like an animal. He's like, I want fucking...
And I'm not trying to punish myself. But, I like but the taste.
I guess my question is someone that is a bitch about it? Like, I have Cholula.
Then I won't.
I'll put Sriracha on stuff. Okay. And it's I find it enjoyable, but that's me older. When I was younger, I hated spice. I was like, this is too spicy. I need mild. I was a bitch. Yeah. And as I got older, I was like...
I feel the same way about chlamydia.
I don't want this.
And now you go, just got to get used to it.
He goes, oh, it really makes your dick hole pump. It really gives you the dick hole heat you're looking for. But like with the spice thing, has there ever been something that's too much for you when you travel?
Thai spicy in Thailand, but down there and
did you have to request it? Did you have to go like pick the fight and be like, give me your spiciest shit? Or were they like, they just gave it to you and you're like, oh,
they just gave it to you. They'll warn you once in a while if you're in a semi-tourist area and they see you being white, like, oh, We've gotten complaints before from your type.
That's and I'm so
like,
great.
Glad you said that. I'm still fine. Go.
That's
for
always
it.
Like the white thing is do you just know, like, if they know white, they go, nah, they're gonna fucking complain about the spice.
Yeah, whereas I know if you're a tourist, they don't know to warn them.
Yeah, because they just go, this is where you. It's like the amount of ranch you get in Nebraska, where you just go, like, I bet they see, like, other people, and they go, like, Europeans, they go, you don't want this much ranch.
Or the fat stuff in Chicago. I was eating a salad. Me and Rogan had a salad somewhere in Chicago, and we're like, so I'm like, what? Hold on. And we're like, excuse me, ma'am, did you put sugar on this? And she goes, is it too much for you? I'm like,
it was
crazy.
Such a, like,
yeah, of course. Was crazy. Did I go ham?
Crazy.
Did I go too much?
When like,
none when on I, a salad.
When I quit sugar and drinks,
yeah.
When I like had to make that effort to get it out of my coffee and get it out of my iced tea, once I had Southern Sweet Tea again, I was like, what the fuck? That's like Thai spice,
yeah.
But for sugar. You're like, dude, this is fucking crazy. This is just sugar. And they're like, sweet tea. And you're like, I don't like this. I'm getting diabetes right
now.
But it does rule if you can like it. Like, I can like really sweet. Very hot, I'm still a bitch.
You know what people don't talk about in the summer because it's all hot? Is bedding. It's only a winter talk. Everyone's like, oh, I got good bedding in the winter. No, dude, you need to sleep good in the summer too. A nice, cool, crisp sheet when you hit the bed. Ooh, and then you get some good summer sleep, especially if you're like out all day in the sun and you're worn out. Get that nice crisp sheet, grab some good sleep. Try Brooklyn Bedding. Brooklyn Bedding designs and assembles every mattress in their Arizona factory. So there's no middleman, no gimmicks, just top tier quality, honest pricing, and real American craftsmanship for better night's sleep. If you sleep hot, Brooklyn Bedding uses Glaciotex covers, copper infused foams, and temperature regulating materials to help keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Plus, Brooklyn Bedding also offers a 120-night comfort trial. If you love it, or they'll help you return and swap it, hassle-free. Go to brooklynbedding.com and use my promo code SOTER at checkout. Get 30% off site-wide. This is not available to everybody else. That's brooklynbedding.com using the promo code SOTER for 30% off site-wide. Support our show and let them know we sent you after the checkout. Again, brooklynbedding.com, promo code SOTER. I know those of you who have been listening for a while, even back when I was on the Bonfire, you know I got LASIK, so you know I got these laser eyes, but they wear off. And honestly, when I come back to my glasses days, I'm going right back to Warby Parker. It's who I used when I had glasses, and it's who I'll use when I return to glasses. Warby Parker, one-stop shop. You go in, you can get an appointment with an optometrist in the back to take a look at your eyes to see, you know, how good your vision is doing. They'll do the appointment right in-house, and then they have your prescription. You can go pick glasses out in the front, so then you have glasses you love with the prescription you need. Bam! It's all right there. And when it comes to quality for the price, Warby Parker's the best. Not even close. It used to have to be, oh, I'm going to spend a bunch of money on these glasses. I hope they stay forever. Warby Parker, you get two pairs of glasses if you're irresponsible like me and you lose them all the time. Warby Parker completely changed that. The prescription glasses start at just $95, so you actually get quality and stylish frames at an affordable price. All in one place, like I said before, which makes everything so much easier. And it also includes contacts, online eye exams, and sunglasses. Maybe the best part of Warby Parker, for every pair they sell, they also give one to someone in need. Warby Parker has distributed over 20 million pairs of glasses to people in need through its Buy a Pair, Give a Pair program. Right now, buy one pair of glasses and get 20% off on any additional pair at warbyparker.com/soder. That's 20% off any additional pairs when you purchase at warbyparker.com/soder.
Second thing, when you get food poisoning on the road like that,
you do and you will. And you go into it knowing that you will.
Is that the way you accept it when you travel?
I've gotten enough times by now. There's just no avoiding it. My O'Neill's chick was like, got it. And we all ate the same stuff and shared with each other. Like, it might be a bounce of something in a shower, like a bounce off a shoulder. You always think you know what it is, and then it could be anything.
Yeah, dude.
It's literally a drop of water. So you can wash stuff in the sink. You just have to dry it completely off before you have it. So if a plate comes wet. You got to like know and just like, I'd rather be dirt. Bobby Kelly said it the best. It's safer. It's more dangerous there to drink, to brush your teeth with the sink water than it is here to brush your teeth with toilet water.
Really?
Yeah. As long as it's flushed.
That's fucking
It's just wild. Gross.
You don't even think about that and you go like, yeah.
I'm still in the mode of like, sink water, brush teeth. No. We got it great here.
One. Yeah. Like shoveling it in. But like when you have, when you're like going in knowing you have
food. I saw Fast and Furious 5 when I was there in Rio.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where she's like in the favela. And they're on the, they're hiding away, and she goes like this with water, and then she drinks some. And I'm like, nope, rest of the movie is her shitting. Rest of the movie is her shitting now.
He goes, hey, I heard you drink that water. And she's on the other side of a door, and she's like, Dom, you gotta get out of here. They're gonna get me. But do you have like,
No, there's a tri-pack. That's what I start taking immediately. Now my technique is good.
That's what I mean. Like,
don't wait. Don't wait, because if you can't hold it down, you're fucked.
You know when they show assassins assemble a rifle? Anyways, I just assume you do that with diarrhea when you're traveling, where it's like, and you put something together and you're like, take this, now go over there.
there's a small difference in feeling between food poisoning and just diarrhea.
Do you know what it is?
Make the decision right away, which one is this, because it's going to get worse. But right now it's about the same. It's like this, and then you know it's going to go there. Because if it's going to be the diarrhea, shitting, and pooping, you're not going to be able to keep the pill down.
No.
You got to keep it down for 2 hours. And if you have a sip of water will make you barf, then you can't get the pill down.
So what's your advice?
Pre-do it. If you think it might be or probably is, get that pill down now. Start it working. It's one a day for 3 days. You're still going to suffer, but start the process.
What pill? Imodium AD? Is that such white guy stuff?
No,
is
that like me going like shit, bro?
That's like me going like, I like Tabasco. When we're talking about spice.
Imodium AD is a pocket Palestinian throwing a rock at an IDF troop and thinking it'll make a difference. Imodium AD.
It really? Because I always, when I was at Arizona, I went to Mexico. I'd take Imodium AD and I was fine.
Well, that's for basic diarrhea.
Sure.
Not food poison.
Okay.
So
Diarrhea works.
Diarrhea, sure, it works.
And I want the people at home to know that. Imodium AD does work for diarrhea.
In Southeast Asia, I never didn't have diarrhea.
Really?
4.5 straight months. Not
just
a solid.
Just constantly, when you got home and you pooped solid, did it scare you? Where you're like, my organs are leaving me.
Oh, right.
Right.
It do come
poop
out like
solid.
That.
Yeah. That's, of course. Because I do feel like if you normalize diarrhea.
Normalize diarrhea. That's a good, that's a t-shirt.
That's the name of the episode.
Normalize diarrhea.
It's normalized diarrhea. Why aren't Americans normalizing diarrhea?
I did bring a nice souvenir home from Carnival in Brazil. I got some late night street meat the last day, which is like they're closing. I'm like, damn, that means it's been out. I want it. My last street meat. And I didn't shit a log for about 3 weeks after
no
I got home.
No way. Yeah. Was it worth it?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll do street meat and I'll go like, I really want it.
Yeah.
And then I'll hurt afterwards and I'll go, it was worth it.
It was worth it.
Yeah.
Worth the pain.
Find
there's
street
worth
meat
it
that's worth it.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I took a tumble.
It's a good life thing.
Yeah, it is. That was the stand I used to get off when I worked at K-Rock. I'd get done at 2 in the morning and I'd go on 6th Avenue. And there was one place and sometimes it would fuck me up. But I always knew. I was like, hey, we're going to go into this. Sunday might suck.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a great meal at 2:45 in the morning at my
It has apartment. To be worth it. You don't want it to be the delivery of McDonald's that made you leave before the encore of LCD sound system.
First off, I fucked up. This is a good place to us for us to remedy this situation. I need to apologize.
Okay, I'm legitimately angry about it. I'm not mad, but when I think of it, it doesn't go, oh yeah, good times. It goes, no, that sucked.
Can I tell you where I fucked up?
Okay.
And why me leaving wasn't the problem?
Okay.
Ari and I love LCD sound system.
We've had great times at them.
Great times at them.
Bonnaroo the first.
Brooklyn Steel the second. And then we were going back to Brooklyn Steel to see him again with good seats. I fucked up. And we're in our 40s and 50s. We need earplugs. We just do. If you're young, I will tell you the best advice for concerts. Get comfortable with earplugs. It makes your day the next day much better.
At minimum, take a piece of, if you don't have them, a piece of napkin and shove them in.
Just do it. Yeah. Because you're going to hit that age. Even if you're in your 20s now and you're like,
drugs hit the same regardless.
The drugs hit the same. You're all fine. And then the next day when you wake up, you don't have tinnitus. You don't have that. You're just like, oh, it was a great concert. So I had
taking that out in post, motherfucker.
good luck editing. At the time, I had earplugs that were the ones you want.
Swimmers?
Yes. The ones you want are the the orange ones made for concerts. Do you already keep that thing on you?
Howard Light.
There you go.
The light. And by the way, little tip, little small
take the
frisbee
lid
cap
off before you jam it in your
Take the lens off before you jam it. If on the way into the airplane, if you are stopped in that line where like everyone's rushing to get in, then you stop and slowly right that little room right before you enter the airplane. That's there.
Sure.
That's like the gate thing. Sometimes they have a bag of them.
Yo.
And there's no one there to protect you.
Delta does ones. All the time.
Handful, earplug.
And those are really good for concerts.
Really good. You can still hear everything.
So I fucked up and I bought these like ones off Amazon that were for swimmers. So they block water out of your ear. They also block
a good
most
time.
Of the sound and a good time. Yeah. And Katie, Ari, and I all had these in and I kept being like, taking it out and being like, I can't fucking hear, taking it out. And then we were there for the whole concert. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then at the end, I took them out. And I was like, I fucked up.
The sound on sound system, LCD sound, is it overwhelms you. The slow rises, the 4.5 minute long drops.
Yes.
Instead of 20 second drops. So you get so into it, but it's got to envelop you.
Yeah.
And we didn't let it
envelop us. And I fucked up. And we were hungry and we were like, let's get the fuck out of here. And we left to get food.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where I was like, we're going to leave. But I feel like I ruined the night with the earplugs.
Yeah.
So I got to buy.
Good area. We got to a place right before some stanchions before the VIP. Yeah. So we were right behind the VIP, but we had room so we could do. It's a lot of jumping.
Yes.
We had something to hold on to.
And I fucked up with the earplugs.
And I've done it before where I jump, and it's tough to go this way. You end up going like,
yeah,
my jumping is not. So then I have to put my hand on somebody a lot of times, a stranger, and if I'm on a lot of molly,
yeah.
I don't want to step on them.
Yeah.
And so people look back, I'm like, sorry. And they go, oh, it's cool.
Yeah, vibing.
You're vibing.
I fucked up. I think the only way to redo this is I need to get us tickets to LCD Sound System next time they're in town.
The worst part was they have a song with a chorus that just, and it makes you think of where all the great ones are. I think of like Ralphie a lot or whatever. But when they start repeating, where are your friends tonight?
Yeah.
Where are your friends tonight? And I'm like, mine are at home with pooping out McDonald's.
They left. They left to go eat McDonald's. I really fucked up.
Where are your friends tonight? I was like, I know, right?
I know.
Hey, I know, right?
And I did. And you know what? And I'm taking accountability.
Okay, thank you.
I absolutely fucked up.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry for that. And I will bring the proper earplugs the next time that we do drugs and go see LCD Sound System. Because I'll tell you right now, one of my greatest privileges in life is doing drugs and going to concerts with Ari Shaffir.
It rules so much. And we've been talked down to by some alcoholic people. I'm like, our drug is so much better than your drug. Fuck off.
You know, it's a memory that I have at Terminal 5.
Yeah.
We went and saw St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
God, the guy climbed all this shit.
The guy climbed the shit, gave a hell of a performance. Wow. Ari, Greg Stone, and I, that's who it was, we ate edibles and we sat there and watched. And we're all tall. The three of us are tall. And then these little tiny women behind us
that's so great.
Went, hey, we can't see. We can't see in front of you. And
we can't not stand. We're standing.
Yeah, we're standing.
We have no choice.
So we move. We open the wall and we go ahead. And it was two daughters and their mom and their dad. And the two daughters and the mom went ahead of us. And the dad was standing there. And the daughters said, we bought him tickets. He loves St. Paul and the Broken Bones. We bought the tickets for Father's Day. And so, you know, the human gate is open of Ari, Greg, and I.
Go right now. We'll pull back.
To the dad, we go, go ahead, dude. Go ahead. And he goes, I'm okay. And we go, no, dude.
No, we really don't mind.
And I remember
really
specifically what I said is I go, no, dude, be with your family. And he looks right at me and he goes, I'm good. And then we shut the human gate. So the mom and the daughters were in front of us. Dad was behind us. I've never seen a guy have a better time at a concert.
He just wanted
to
be
separated
alone.
From his family. And he had two drinks and he was behind us.
He
and remember,
just wanted to be alone.
There's a song called Burning Rome. Yeah. And his family was in front of us. And like one of the daughters was on her phone and the mom's like kind of like doing it. And he's behind us with two beers and he goes, they played Burning Rome.
Yeah.
They played Burning Rome. He was like screaming it. And
we
were
laughing about it. We're like, we got you something for Father's Day. Like, what is it? He goes, four tickets to
St. Paul
and like, yeah. And he's like, okay, who do I bet? So we're all going to go.
Craig. He's like, Craig Market. Oh, yeah. Dude, that was absolutely the energy where he was like, yeah.
I'll have a better time alone at a concert than with a bad group. With the wrong group.
Yes. I've walked away at Queens of the Stone Age
Fucking Leanne, she was like, my friends are all lame. I'm going to go see this band at the Sphere by myself, and I'm going to have a blast. And I was like, yeah, do it.
Yeah, I was at it was in Arizona. I went and saw Queens of the Stone Age, and I was with a group of like five people. Two of them knew the band. Three of them weren't into it. Yeah. And I just went like, I was still drinking, but I was like, I'm going to go get a beer. And I got a beer, and then I just went to the pit, and I was like, this is what's up.
I'm here.
Everyone is enjoying it.
I had a better time. I have regrets, but I had a better time at Kendrick Lamar laying in the grass on my back, far, far away from it, barely hearing, than I did with all those people around.
Yeah.
Too many people.
That was how, that's sometimes you got to, a part of growing up is admitting what experience you want.
And as like, you can see, it's like, but I kind of want to be up there where there's less people. I can jump.
Yeah. And you, like, when I was in Amsterdam on fucking truffles losing my shit at Pearl Jam, I went and stood against the back wall and enjoyed myself.
What I need right now.
And I was like, this is what's up. I just watched the show. Everyone was like in front of me. I didn't feel like anyone was behind me. Like I was fucking with anybody. I just sat there and watched.
I saw LCD at the tennis court, whatever it's called. In,
oh, yeah. At Forest Hills.
Forest Hills, yeah.
Yeah.
And I got good seats. And then I was like trying, but it was like kind of bad. I was getting a little recognized, which I do not like on drugs.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like being watched when I'm on stuff. So I was like, and then I looked. They didn't really sell out the corners. And I'm like, I've seen it before. The light show there is cool. But, like, I think I can jump around. So you go to, like, way, way cheaper tickets that in the moment are much better. And then you can jump and run up and down the stairs and, like, have a good time. Fun. You have some space.
That's what it's about. It's about having fucking fun at concerts. Because people lose that real quick and they go, I'm with my group.
You're kind of guessing what the vibe you'll want.
Yeah.
And it's how what the drugs are going to tell you to do.
Also, sometimes there's fans of the people can like a band too much. I went and you're saw. Like,
oh, you guys are.
I went and saw Queens of the Stone Age at Barclays, and I brought my buddy who doesn't know them, who loved it. He went and he was like, "What a great live rock show!" And we're sitting there waiting for the train. We're waiting for the subway to go back to Queens, and he's telling me how good of a time he had. This girl overhears us. She's head to toe in Queens of the Stone Age shit. And she goes, you don't know Queens of the Stone Age? He goes, no, I don't really listen to him. She's like, how could you not listen to him? Don't want to. And I went, hey.
He just got in.
He's in. Stop. You're fucking going to push him out.
It's just his first day. Relax. You got a first day.
That's what I mean, where she was like doing that, where you go, lady, chill the fuck out.
Me and Matt Egger went to see, I was trying forever to go see Billy Strings.
Yeah. Billy Strings rules.
Got into him. Billy Strings rules. Got into him. And then I was like trying to, and then I had a drunken I've been trying for a while to get a Billy Strings, Danny Brown collaboration.
Sick. And I only know man Danny, in America that can make that work.
Yeah, Sarge I keep food. Pushing it. And there was some episode of Rogan's, me, Shane, and Norman were on there, and I'm bombed, and I'm drinking beer out of a turned over, like, top of a Christmas tree ornament. And I'm fucking, and then I was, like, pushing it, and Rogan's like, who's Billy Strings? Like, I got fun mad. I was like, Billy Strings fucking rules!
Yeah, I do that with Sturgill, man. I'll get mad if people don't know Sturgill Simpson, where I'll be like, well, he doesn't go by Sturgill Simpson right now. He goes by Johnny Blue Sky. Yeah. Like, he's Johnny Blue Skies, and you need to fucking look him up. But I think that's the part of fandom that I think we've taken too far with, like, streaming and social media and shit, is you could be too big of a fan that it turns off other people.
So I know I wasn't the biggest fan. I just like what I like.
Exactly.
And so I'm trying to find a time to see him, and then he's gonna be an awesome when I'm there. And I'm like, oh, sick. I'm like, and then I'm like, oh no, I have shows at night.
Sure.
And I guess somebody showed him that they made a clip of that, and he followed me. I was like, no way. And I was like, hey dude, your shit is so good. You should try to find Danny Brown. I think you guys would do a great. And he goes, oh, I'll check him out. I'm like, yeah, I've been trying to find a time. He goes, anytime, man. Which I'm like, anytime means, what does any time mean?
It means a specific time.
But it means, do I get free tickets?
Yeah,
that is great. Do I hit you up again?
Yeah, you go, because I can hit you up
So I tried it. So he played Fort Worth, which is the best city in Texas. The day before, I was in Austin doing my shows.
Okay.
So I was like, hey, can I come? And he goes, got your tickets.
Great.
So then we got our seats, but we think we had all access passes. We're on mushrooms.
Oh, boy.
Me and Matt Edgar. You know Matt?
Yeah.
And then we're like to the lady. We're like, hey, can we go in there? And she goes, well, you got these great seats. I'm like, I know, but like these guys suck.
Yeah, I want to jam.
Can we go in
Similar
there?
Similar to what we were talking about with the roast.
She goes, let me ask. And she goes, yeah, it's all access. I'm like, fuck yeah. And we go in there. There's some guy who's so fucked up who's like, found out it's our first time. And he goes, oh, bro, And he was so cute. He was like coaching us through it. So he goes, okay, so when he played this into this, that was really big. Because he doesn't usually do that. I was like, okay. And then later,
that's
like,
what I do at Queens of the Stone Age concerts with Katie. I go, you have to understand, they haven't played Mexicola Live that I've seen in like 5 years.
He's not going to do Dust in a Baggie. Yeah. Don't expect him to, but that's good. Yeah. And he goes, and he's like, hey, this was about DMT. You should get it. I was like, okay, cool. And then I found all these Wooks that were dancing. He has a whole Wook section.
Great.
And it was like so fun. And so we're like, let's not get too fucked up because there is a non-zero chance that we get invited back afterwards to say hi. I do with Danny all the time.
Sure.
I brought Simonson there. It's his favorite musician.
That's great.
Didn't know that. I knew he liked him. And he came back. I'm like, hey, Danny, I've gotten to be friends with him.
Sure.
It helps that I'm not a rap fan so I could be cool.
Yeah.
But, and I'm like, here's my friend Daniel. And
I love that.
And I'm like, oh, anyway, he likes you.
Yeah.
But. And so I'm like, there's a non-zero chance that we're going to meet him, so we shouldn't get too fucked up. So there's this moment where we're tripping enough, and we're like wild, and he's sober, but it's like, oh, just like LCD, they play a song for everybody.
Sure.
For the drunks, for the molly heads, yeah, for the mushroom people, for the weed heads,
yeah,
for the sobers. There's something for each of them.
Yeah.
And Billy does it too. There's something for the date night people that are just drinking some wine.
Jam with their
lady.
There's
definitely some shit for mushrooms. I mean, he was a meth head. There might be a song or two for meth. I couldn't relate. But everyone will like it all. But you'll like it on another level.
Yeah.
So I saw LCD the time we went when Vita was held up by the crowd.
That was crazy.
I saw him the next day just on some weed. And I'm like, oh, they're playing songs for this. Oh, there's an experience for just the potheads. And yesterday for the Molly addicts.
That's understanding your crowd.
There was also that. Michelle's like, they spoke through that.
The disco ball.
The disco ball.
They're talking through it.
We were,
I am them. They
up.
Are me. He is us.
We took a heavy dose when we saw LCD Sound System. Yeah. We did mushrooms and Molly, and it was a night.
Stayed up till the next afternoon.
I did a bonfire. I did a without YKWD sleeping. And a bonfire. You can find it. I pissed 9 times during the bonfire episode.
Wow.
Because I was up for 2 days.
So this
Jay was
moment,
like, you're going to pee again? And I was like,
yes, again.
Oh, yeah.
Another yarmulke for you.
Yes.
So there's this moment where we're like tripping out or whatever. And then we both had the same realization. We're like, looked at each other and like, he would not mind if we're too fucked up.
That's
like,
really
no,
funny.
He would not. He would love it. If we got back there like this, he'd be like, yeah, dude, come sit down.
Yeah. That is fun.
Yeah.
That is very fun going like, he'd be proud of us.
Yeah. And all the people telling us about it. It's such a family thing.
Yeah.
I think he's even way bigger now, but.
Yeah, music is still got that. And I think comedy has that to a certain extent of like, there is a fun part of that old record store culture of like, I don't know this. I'm going in and someone goes, hey, you should like this. They're into this. They do this. Dead had a great thing doing that. String Cheese Incident. All of them have that. Like,
yeah,
Fish.
If you're watching a whole night at the comedy store in the old days, and you had a guy there telling you, like, so this guy used to be on, he was a senator. Now he's a comic again. You're like, oh, really? Or like, hey, this guy's like Holtzman. He's like, he's gonna go hard. Understand? He's joking.
And it's my favorite thing to do. It's my favorite thing to do when people visit New York and they're like one of my close friends and they come with me to the cellar. I'm like, you gotta watch this guy because this guy does this and he does this.
Some
and
guys like, go, he'll crush once every 8 times and he'll bomb 6 and do okay once.
And I'll leave him in the showroom and then like come back in and check in with him and they'd be like, I like that second guy. And you go, that guy's the best. You have the best taste.
Good taste.
You know
that guy
what I mean?
Rules.
You're like, yeah, it's great. Being a fan rules. Just don't be too much of a fan.
Let people find it.
Let people find it. Great way. Ari Shaffir, you're a true mensch.
Buddy, I love you. I missed you a lot. I thought about you when I was traveling a
lot.
Yeah,
man. I was mad when I'd open my WhatsApp and miss our time to connect.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd send one every 5 months, but you're back.
Yeah.
Check out The End. It is...
Oh, we got to say it. Oh, we didn't say it at all. I made a TV show.
You made a TV show called The End.
What does it remind you of? I can't say it, but you can.
It reminds me of This Is Not Happening.
Okay, great.
It's
legally, he made that connection.
I made that connection. Ari did not. But it, you know, it's everybody that loves Ari came out and told a story.
Yours was so funny.
And well, I got ripped into mine.
You did get ripped into yours.
I said, I didn't have a story. I didn't have anything worked out. Shane was doing it. Shane was like, come on, dude. I don't have a story. And I go, you have so many stories.
Shane's always the, I need to prepare for this guy.
And then he kills.
Prepares.
And then we showed up. What's funny is, and people don't know this, is when we filmed it, we're on a different episode, but we were filming me and Shane, after Miss Pat, who was murdering about Bob Saget coming over to her house,
yeah,
talking about eating, Shane and I remembered that gay people gave each other monkeypox. So Shane and I were backstage going, we were doing the phone call to go, hey, Steven, you gave me monkeypox. And it was making us laugh like middle school. We're going to get in trouble in class hard to the point that people on your production staff were coming over and going, hey, you guys need to shut the fuck up. We can hear you laughing. And then Shane was like, we were both dying. And then we were like, all right, let's go up. But then it came out great.
Well, this is why beautifully. Thank you. This is why you don't want a network saying, hey, what are you going to say? I need to see everything.
Sure.
You go, you want a comic going, guys, if you think of something in the moment, go for it. If it doesn't go, I'll drop it. But that was such a funny through line.
It was so funny.
And you guys pretty much told two separate stories together, riffed off each other.
Yeah, and it was like, I knew.
It's some people's favorite.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, but we had like a lot of fun being like, oh yeah. And I got to, you know, he was like good at football and I sucked. So it's always fun to be like, this is how bad I sucked at football. And he's like, that's crazy.
He goes,
like,
I sucked slightly after you.
Yeah. And it was fucking great. But
you guys are on, everyone's a 1 hour episode. You guys are on Ruminations of When I Used to Suck.
Yeah.
Episode 106. They're not in any order.
They're not, but check it out. It is great. You got fucking Nate. You got List. You got Bobby. You got Big J. Big J tells the Armageddon story, which I love.
That's my favorite. When I was like, dust that shit off, man. I got a show coming and I want you to. That and the List one.
Can you see it? Yeah, List.
Can you picture it? List. Can you picture what I'm talking about?
So good. And Bobby's was phenomenal. Miss Pat's was great.
Miss Pat's was great.
I watched like a bunch of people record. You shot it beautifully at the box.
Thank you.
Shout out to Eric Abrams. He was a part of it, right?
He's the best director in comedy.
He just, I was I just, mean,
no, sorry.
I was, yeah. But I was hanging out with him and I was telling him, like, it was just fucking great. Go check out the end.
If you want to just get that episode, it's $6. If you get all of them, they're each an hour. Then it ends up being about $4 each per hour. And then also, I don't know if you know this, there's a prologue we made.
I didn't know
that. To bridge the gap. It's free. Not free for me, but free to get. It bridges the gap from that old show, what'd you call it?
This Is Not Happening?
To the new show, The End, and what happened and why it's a new name and just why I'm bringing it back. And I tried to have a thing of like, the show wasn't just what you saw filmed. The show was all these live moments.
Yeah.
For me anyway, my memories of the show were equal. Miss Pat telling me that thing about Bob Saget was like that. I guess we filmed it, but it's actually a live show. And so I had this thing of like all the my favorite moments that I remember and just a little homage. And you're in there on one of them.
Yeah.
Which is we had a mushroom episode in Montreal.
Yeah.
On Shroomfest.
Yeah.
And we're all supposed to take mushrooms and everyone pissed out.
At JFL.
Except the two of us.
Everyone bailed. He was the midnight show and he went, here's what's going to happen. We're going to eat mushrooms and then we're going to do the show. And I was like, I was like, fuck yes. Yeah. And then I ate the mushrooms before while the show previously was going on. And so I went outside and I smoked a couple joints and I'm kicking it and I'm like ready and I'm starting to feel it. And then Ari comes up to me wild eyed, full of mushrooms. And he goes, we're the only ones that did mushrooms. Where do you want to go in the lineup? And I went, why isn't anyone else doing mushrooms? And you went, they bailed. And I went, can I go first?
Should not have said that, but I was on mushrooms too much to know not say that.
And you went, you could go first.
Yeah.
And I went first and it was going great until the light on the stair kicked in and then I fucking bombed.
Yeah. You were like having a blast and then you were like,
yeah. And it spooked
me. Were we looking at the light doing what? Just
it went on and I went, did that light come on? And the guy went, no. And then the light went on again and turned off and I went, that light didn't go on and turn off. And he went, no. And then I was like,
why is everybody fucking with me?
That's why. And I was like, oh no, where am I at in my story? Spiral. And I was fucking having so much fun until that moment.
So there's an homage in there to just one light bulb.
Oh yeah, great.
They're not like so in your face, the homages. Yeah. There's a light bulb and that is you from that story.
Oh, freaked the fuck prologue. Out.
Yeah.
But check out the end, ymhstudios.com. You can download
it. Or arishafir.com. It's easier to remember.
Go to arishafir.com.
The link is right there.
Traffic.
But guys, this is the way we're kind of going around the system.
Yeah.
With this self-release. I know people are used to getting stand-up for free and I don't
blame you for getting a little mad about it. But
it's about $4 per hour. It's less than, it's like four movies long.
Yeah, shit's changing. It's all touring and doing it yourself.
It's going to be rental till a year after we stop selling it. And then I'm going to figure out a way to get everybody download cards so that they can have it forever. Sick. I just don't have that yet, but I'll look up. You and I are like, we're way closer to the ticket buyers than the ticket sellers.
Yes.
You know, in the live version of stuff. So we're like, we understand your plight. So thank you. It's great. I'm so glad you did it.
It was very fun. I was like, I don't have anything. And then after I did it, Shane was like, that was so fun.
If you want to test just their episode and get the, not the rest, but you get a disc, you get two free if you get five. So do that. But if you want to test, it starts with Tolomash.
Great.
Then Sam Talent.
Great.
Who's a lot of people's favorite story.
He's my favorite.
Bobby Kelly.
Great.
Who's a lot of people's favorite story. And then you two.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just a very fun watch. The end. Arishphere.com.
Yeah.
That's how you fucking plug it.
Yeah, thanks. I love you, man. I love both you guys.
We love you, too.
Yeah.
We're big fans. We're glad you're back in the country with your fucking bag of mulch.